send it out before we start.
Client's done, and I really want to thank Stan for asking us to do this.
Yes,
he asked us a long time ago, and there was no hesitation. I'm not going to say much about the poems, they speak for themselves. My Julie Goose stuff is me looking out at the world, but I'm going to read some more personal stuff tonight. Me looking inwards, I suppose, I wouldn't share it very often. I'm going to do one poem on Squared as well. So we just have similar themes, we're going to bounce off each other, you know, based on similar themes. So I'm going to start on a positive note before we get very dark. I'm going to start with a birth poem, Tomorrow's Girl. In you, for all, I watched you grow from the inside out. Your umbilical tail was rooted in my veins, and I wondered if we dreamed in sync. As soon as your lease ceased in Panic Womb, I welcomed you into this world, Tomorrow's Girl. Your gaze danced to the sound of my voice as I blessed you with my new mother's breath. I thanked evolution, history and geography for this moment, right here, right now. Your dark Himalayan eyes shined black. My smile shined back as I saw strands of your hair weave Celtic curls of red and gold. At just 5 minutes old, your beauty has cast a spell on the future. I called on your ancestors east and west into our lives to rejoice in your birth and guide you on this earth. May your heart and mind be open, your instinct finely tuned. As you dance your way through night and day, this aching world may you soothe.
I guess this is for anyone who's ever nearly a parent, and it's called Misconceptions. So we get used to the tears and the swinging of moods and the strange and bizarre combinations of foods. I've been told you're a bollocks about 10 times a day, and 10 more than she loves you until near go away. For the woman with child is a formidable beast. She loves you, then hates you with both famine and feast. But your child grows inside her and she carries it around, and it's hard to believe and to get your head around. But then you accept it and it all becomes clear what the secret of life is, how we all got here. And it's no more a secret, no more wondering why. No need anymore to look up at the sky, but just stare at your feet. Feel the earth there beneath. Feel the babe in her belly in her womb there asleep. And feel the grief, feel the joy, see the future with fear. If your baby holds on by the thread of a hair. So you give up the booze and the fags and the dope. You might even start praying again to the Pope. For God, he is there if you start to lose hope. And the midwife, she frowns at her scans and her scopes. Just take your woman's hand and tell her everything's grand. She still have the few acres of forestry land. And we still have each other, and sure, that's all that matters. And her dreams far from over, and her laying in tatters. And the midwife looks up and her gaze is confirming that the baby inside her is no longer a squirming, that sometime on Wednesday said enough was enough, probably didn't care for all this recessionary stuff. And he decided to leave, this time doesn't suit, but no matter it proves, that this womb that bears fruit. And it's practice makes perfect, isn't that what they say, and it's persistence not talent that wins out the day. Maybe the next time we'll get them to try and please stay, and we love them in mind.
There's nothing that could challenge your mental health more than grief. And I wrote this poem in memory of my mother. It's called Happy Birthday. Today I took a slice of time to share with you at your grave on your birthday. I ran my fingertips through the grass which is nourished by your passing. I breathed in the summer air, felt your arms around me. My tears ran to moisten the soil. All I can offer, I am raining for you. Each time I come and sit and cry, you leave me feeling light, released. Patchouli clouds call the grief from my heart and fluff it up. As I make my way to the silver gates, I take time to think of those whose stories are told alongside yours in this most important gallery, where births and deaths are written in stone. The sacred, sapient sculptures are embedded in the earth, heightening the senses of passerby as he or she salutes each artist's signature. I bow my head to each and every one in gratitude for such honesty, as nothing is more honest than death. Another heavy one. I hate the term broken home. My next poem is called Broken Home. You crept inside me, airborne bacteria. Walked your fungal feet all down my back. A daring disguise almost worth crediting. An enviable performance worth a thousand claps. I slap your face with every thought. Whip your skin with every blink. Bitterness simmers, but anger bubbles. The cement walls of our home are about to crack. You scratch out my gaze so I cannot recognize myself, inside or out. Inside out, you leave me raw. Twist me, knead me, tighten me, bake me. I chop chili with an oversized knife, liking the weight of its shape in my grip. I scare myself, yet bow to you. Imagining life without your growls shifts from fear to fantasy. I place the short stick I drew 3 years ago in the top drawer alongside your socks. I pack my bag to an adrenaline beat, pick up our child with a condor-like swoop, march to the room where your stale breath moves its nasty way, declare my withdrawal from our life together. Our home will miss my face, our child will miss yours. You mumble an apology with pathetic posture, not noticing that I mean it this time. I am gone, I am gone. The knife slips through my finger, chili swims with my blood. The sting reawakens some strength in me. I am here, still fucking here. Anger bubbles, ebbs and flows. I will leave one day and not look back. You will lose your face in this blackened cave we once called home. You can keep the cushions and cuddly toys to remind you of days when you were soft and loved for me.
My take on the death, the grief for trauma aspect of this was kind of looked at just as mental health, we're bombarded with stuff all the time, you know, from every angle, from your phones, from advertising, and world events as well. Like, you know, like a 9/11 was a massive trauma on people's minds that made them like just people in America were fucked in the head from this time. And I started to dig into it, none of it made sense. One of the things that I found out about it was that 8 of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. And these 8 supposedly devout Muslim jihadis were on the beer for 3 months solid in Langley, Virginia, in strip clubs and titty bars. And including the night of September the 10th before they hijacked the planes. And the night that Trump got elected, speaking of attacks on the psyche of the world, the night that Trump got elected, I had this dream that what if the hijackers were so hungover on 9/11 that they missed the Twin Towers and crashed somewhere else in New York? And this is called Bad Craziness. So on September 11th, 2001, mayhem and malice and murder were done. And jet fuel that could with the story that's told, but who knows, for these theories, they never get old. Now, not to make light of these tragic events, but there's always been bits that have never made sense. And there's experts and architects arguing years, all it does is expose and expand on our fears. But what if in hindsight and purely for crack, that something went wrong in the plan of attack? Or what if old Ahmed and Atta had gotten their wires crossed arseways, being hung over rotten? And the hookers and cocktails that hammered all night had left them in no shape to handle the flight. They were wrapped with the fear and a few had to spew as they entered the cockpit to tie up the crew. Guaranteed martyrdom, virgins in heaven, the terminal flight of the 767. Now, Arabs not used to the session scene should know never to operate heavy machines, and the mind can be muddled and puddles of vom is a time-proven way for your day to go wrong. When the plane was lined up, when the rookie test pilot tapped his hand to his mouth, made a run for the toilet, and the Boeing's trajectory was just unaltered so slight, then missed the Twin Towers by a foot to the right, and straight towards a building just 20 blocks north, owned by a billionaire famed for resorts. Converging en masse, the planet's elite had gathered to witness the carnage beneath, invited celebrities sip their champagne with Mossad refusing to share their cocaine. There was princesses, princes and bluebloods of old. There was oil sheiks and spies who came in from the cold. There was Rothschilds and Kissingers, Bushes and Clintons. Bill himself chatting up the bow of Paris Hilton. And each corporate director of Pestilence Inc. had all been invited to Trump's for a drink. A new area they promised of profits looked good, illuminating the source would be rivers of blood. And they toasted themselves as catastrophe loomed. Then a stone chilly silence fell over the room. And in the blink of an eye, the purveyors of death realized all at once they had drawn their last breath. The panic was instant and spread like a fungus. Jimmy Savile got Paris because she was the youngest. There was royalty trampled to death on the stairs as the pilot of his Boeing flew on unawares. And the hijacker who had recently given his soul, he was still in the jacks with his head in the bowl. Well, the impact of aircraft and building was savage. The top floors ablaze with unfixable damage. Not a single survivor escaped from Trump Towers. That structure she burned for a good 90 hours. And then later that day, of such treacherous treason, the Twin Towers just collapsed for absolutely no reason. And baffling the experts for decades to come was just wondering what in good hell had gone on. America soon will get over its grief, and peace will return to the president's brief. But alas, it's not true, it just makes me feel sad. This was all just a dream that I had. Thank you.
Try and move seamlessly from trauma to healing. I'll do two shortish pieces. This is called Note to Self. Commit random acts of kindness. Surrender to the silence born out of shyness. Stop worrying about what you imagine others think of you. Use your imagination for more powerful creations. And would you stop deriving mathematical equations when looking in the mirror? If I count the wrinkles on my face, divide this by my double chin, somehow calculate the speed at which my boobs are sagging, and multiply this by the obtuse angle of my arse, the result will be negative. Stop beating yourself up so much. Stop calling yourself a stupid bitch, a stupid bitch. Stop being so hard on yourself. Breathe. Clear your mind of self-harming sentences. Embrace your achievements, pat yourself on the back and run yourself a bath. Make oils of lavender and rose essential. It's through loving yourself you will discover your potential. Yes, love yourself. You cannot escape the essence of who you are. And when you come across others who snigger from afar, well, just walk away with your head held high. Tap into healing energies of earth and sky, you big hippie. So this one is fresh off the press. I just thought it would be suitable for tonight. It's called Measurements. I'm not used to having this and this, so excuse me if I look really awkward. Measurements. One part sleeping, presumably dormant. One part cocooned, expected to evolve. One part decaying, letting go. One part thirsty, remind to quench. One part sad, understandable. One part grateful, should be more parts. One part sexy, should be more sex. One part spiritual, oh many pemmerman. One part angry, understandable. One part unforgiving, learning. One part academic, learning. One part creative, one part free. One part bonkers, one part musical, one part fucking hilarious, one part honest, one part daughter, one part sister, one part mother, one part friend, one part secret, one part dark, one part neglected, one part moon, one part tidal, one part fierce, one part mindful, all parts connected, all parts equal.
So this is like our first time to do this section is, yeah, so we kind of tailor-made it just for tonight, like, so. Moving seamlessly into healing as well. I've a little girl, I have parents, any parents here? One or two parents, moms or dads. It's an incredible feeling when we have healing advocate. It's the worst feeling in the world when they're sick or when they're seriously sick. It's the most hopeless, and it's the most helpless. I won't say it's hopeless, but it's the most helpless you'll ever feel. When you have a baby in your arms and there's nothing to do, it's all kind of going downhill, like, and we spent a lot of time in Cumbria Hospital with Tessa, which was born, which was about 4 months in there, and every doctor in the world kind of tried to help her, but couldn't come up with anything. And my mum took us to see a healer up in Mount Rath, just a farmer up on the side of the mountain, and he fixed her like in a few minutes. And that's true, and I don't know, he's not a seventh son or anything like this, they just have some genuine gift in their family for healing people. And they've lived in the same place for a good few generations there and have handed down this healing ability to their kids. And like, you fix her in 5 minutes, pick her up like you'd buy a pig at a market, like, you know. I gave her a real hard rub, both sides, and that was it. She just started to thrive the next day, kept dinner like, and so. It kind of awakened in me when that, you know, there is kind of heavenly gifts, you know, whether we want to see them or not, or whether we just believe in them, like, but I saw it, like, with my own eyes, like, so, yeah, this guy had to, like, for all the technology in the world, and so this is called the healer. So we had for months endured the stress of hospitals and endless tests, of bloods and marrows being extracted, a diagnosis sought, etc. Experts and consultants hummed upon their foreheads, fingers drummed, her enigmatic symptoms stumped, nuanced drugs and theories dumped. Professors and the doctors mused, conclusions drawn but not enthused, and discharged when her fever passed from our wee room and tempered glass. So home we went to Tullamore to mind this little ward of ours. And my mother knew, as mothers do, when science failed to call on you, and my own hair, the ticking clock, chimed time to think inside the box. So early on an autumn dawn, we parked a car beside his lawn, and ne'er were we the first in line, such queues of people to the shrine. Abide along on simple paths, on sweet room hills outside my breath. And once inside, the man himself picked Tessa up like fragile dove, examined her with care and thought both human traits that can't be bore. And he firmly rubbed her on her side, saying sorry for her temper pride. Hush now, it's nearly over, almost done. Above your kidneys, glands are blocked, they're moving now with them. So ease your crying, dry your tears, this must have been hell on your ears. These points that I disrupt for you are directly connected to those organs that you need for hearing. And these stagnant nodes are interfering with your belly and with your gut, those openings are tightly shut. But fear not, Granny, fear not, Dad. There have been dark days that you've had, and calm yourself, that bridge is crossed. No need to feel that you were lost. From tomorrow, wait and see, she'll start eating hard to eat. So take that tube out of her nose and stick her back into her clothes and worry not, she'll be alright. Sleep like a log for you tonight. And just like that, this quiet man, his massive, gnarled and healing hands, had brought the skeptic's heart to light. And I knew then, my man was right. That there's things in life we must accept to wander on this wondrous earth, that you will come and you will go, a speck amidst the cosmic flow. And technology has made us blind to the wonder of our humankind. That when heaven works through human hands, what knowledge fails to understand is that all the books and wisdom gleaned are just drops of water in a stream that comes from a source that's higher up than we perceive in our minds from optical cups. So accept this miracle, this gift, and welcome to the conscious shift. And my child is cured, and not by those consultants in their fancy clothes, nor physicians' lettered names on plaques, nor scientists bent on proving facts. And a simple man with an open heart took my reality apart, proving seeking knowledge couldn't match belief surpassed the surface scratch. My daughter's life I owe to him, and my first call upon him. Thank you.
I write Shaskail as well, and I publish Shaskail under my Julie Field, the name my parents gave me. as opposed to Goo, the name my brother gave me. I think the Irish language is incredibly more suitable to writing dark pieces than the English language. It's just, for me, there's a much more richer tools to work with. I have a poem, I wrote this well over 10 years ago. I'm going to read it in Irish first, and then I'll give you the dodgy English translation, which I'd only written down. Unfortunately, I'll do it in a dodgy way. Duchus means gloom. An tuignis an tanro, ach tá fliise fo fáil a bhocal, litrach an na habítre, ag sisirnach san líthe. A riam os ciong ma crachan, scrúdiam a scáil, nochtar ma lochtana, scáptar an chio, sahoc falaf sitte rimam na lapa, ag eistac le na peisian na tebi, ag nyadú sa cahú ar nyart na hirlisha. Múnach mar rúiga, rúk mar húla, gúrúchán mar bhiongach, ag trahig na búna nua. Mo chrí ag sní o chiardí go chiardí, o glúan go glúan, o lúan go lúan. Ach is chiardí mishe leis, nach féidir paróga ma héal, a chiangal, a chnasú, is me héin a yalvú, nís loitle, nís oile, Smis gáil a chahav ar vahúcha an hróna. An tuignas an tanro, ach tá fúisib ar fáil a bachal, litracha na habítra, ag sisinach san líha. Glúm. Loneliness, panic, but there is relief in words. Letters of the alphabet whisper in the night. I rise above myself, inspect my reflection, reveal my faults, the mist clears. An empty vessel sits on the edge of the bed, listening to abstract worms, feeding on its host. Piss for hair, wrinkles for eyes, an abbreviation for a smile, creating my new mold. My heart swims from craftsperson to craftsperson, from generation to generation, from Monday to Monday, but I'm also a craftsperson. Can't I connect, mould the pebbles of my life, sculpture myself more beautiful, stronger, cast a shadow on those dark feelings? Loneliness, panic, but there is relief in words. Letters of the alphabet whisper in the night.
Some friends you lose, and then some friends you have to lose. And the friends that you have to lose, it's never an easy thing when somebody's life, someone that you love, a really good friend, their path in life takes them away from you, or the life that you've chosen for yourself. And comes to a point sometimes some bad shit will happen and that'll be it, like they'll just go, like, and that's it. And yeah, it's happened to me, it's happened to all, I guess, man, sometimes. But yeah, this is just an accident in the kitchen sparked this poem. So. It's called All the King's Horses. Can I remember the first fucking So imagine a bowl or a saucer or a plate. As it falls from your grasp and you fumble through it. And it shatters and splinters in dozens of bits and frozen in silence and reality hits. I stared and I studied these pieces of dove, reflected and pottered to my poetry self, and thoughts that had troubled me badly for weeks about friendship and family and personal critiques. But personal critiques became clear in an instant in my muddled mind, while the answers to questions that I tried to find. The universe spoke from off of the floor, appearing impartial and blunt metaphor, and a friend and a fellow, a bard and a mate, our friendship a poem now, in this broken plate. For now I was the floor and he the death dropper, my friendship now fallen and come a proper. For I'd stewed and I'd brewed on the turn of events, as the parts of the puzzle unveiled in segments, and each one a piece of that bond that is shared that once broken, is rarely if ever repaired. Two large jagged pieces, one love and one trust, another piece honour amidst in the dust, another piece passion, and another piece pride, and another piece sorrow, and another piece joy. And as I dropped to my knees, I shedded a tear. I endeavoured to gather them, to make them adhere, but they cut me and slashed me. The more I attempted to save it at dawn, just what it represented. Assembling the pieces caused anguish and pain, and the anger in me, an unstoppable train, and I wanted to smash him and know, cause him to know how it felt to be dealt out these brokerishing blows. For you know what you did, and you know who you are, and the truth is that now we will both wear the scars. And as I fitted the pieces together, I drew the conclusion amidst all the blood and the gloom that all the king's horses and all the king's men could never put this one together again. So I grasped at the dust and the minuscule slivers, and I patched it and pasted it with my bloody fingers, but I could feel deep in the back of my soul that something's once broken can be never made whole. And as I stared upon Karma's cosmical token, my daughter, not too yet, said, "Daddy, plate broken." And so I swept up my daughter and this now fractured plate, and we went to the shed where I picked out a spade and the symbol of friendship before never measured, and we dug a hole solemnly and we buried the treasure, and there it will stay as a memory cherished, the one that went wrong and eventually perished.
I'm going to finish up on a more positive one. Conformity, or what's the opposite? What's the word?
Non-conformity.
That's apparently a mental illness. That's one that certainly suffers from.
Rebellion.
It's in the DSM as being yourself. So I've written this piece in response to it, and it's called Freedom from Conformity. Conformity is a deformity of human evolution, a pollution of progress, an invisible few putting pressure on you to live your life as they see fit. Forget about IT, you want to be an it girl. And boys, you play with those toys which reaffirm your masculinity. Put down the pots and pans from your sister's kitchenette, throw a grenade in the oven. Because at the end of the day, it's the real men who get the loving of a trophy princess in a constant state of distress. For not only is she unable to find her way home, she cannot find herself. So she defines herself through labels and brands, obsessively self-tans, showing Bobby Sands hands. And it's no wonder this damsel is in distress. For each time she undresses, a whispering chorus of magazine quotes swarms her aura. Zombie gaze Aurora Borealis green can be seen as her fingers play the scales of her ribcage. Her young daughter watches from the bedroom door, mimicking the woman she adores. Intergenerational insecurities pass through bloodlines, but there is always a black sheep, the one who challenges cosmologies, who refuses to bow to conformity. And I say we need these odd ones out, for without them we are carbon copies, stereotyped into docile black and white, packed neatly into boxes. I want to see a transgender Rosa Tralee, a caring wife or Montessori teacher, a friendly bouncer. A bouncy castle bouncing gay couple celebrating their child's birthday. A comic reading breastfeeding mother sitting alongside her sister whose decision not to procreate or settle down does not leave her gathered around drunken relatives at weddings asking awkward questions, suggesting Johnny at the bar has an ex-wife fancy car and outdoor jacuzzi. Has anyone even asked Johnny if he wants to remarry? They're just assuming. I want to meet a bird-watching, hopscotching tattooist without any tattoos, see a pincushion-faced Nemo reading the news, a model in a wheelchair, imperfection being the new black. But along comes the DSM and attacks our identity, labelling us non-conformist, mentally ill, proposing to cure us with a pill, or at least airbrush away our ideas and patent them as their own. I live in hope my non-conformist seed has been sown for me.
Listening to Brick Brook, thanks Tom and Paul and everyone for having us. This is my last piece. I had a very bad nervous breakdown in Australia 10 years ago where I walked off with just in my socks into the bush like 8 days. And I was lost here, man. You know,
he's only looking for attention.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, I seriously had gone into the bush for 8 days with no socks on. I basically had been burning my candle at both ends. It was that guy who couldn't say no to anything really. A very, very rubber armed situation. Used to have a very, but that shit catches up to you, man. And then you're all, and everyone has that fair, man. You know, keep in mind the person can't say no, because you know the old mind is a high performance car, man. You know, and every time you crash it, you put it back together, but it's just never quite the same as before you crashed it. And if I think a lot of young people, man, who go out to take their own lives, like, as I did, man, they don't get that second chance to just fucking stop, man, and just think, you know, the sun will come out in the morning, man, things are not as bad as they seem, and the second chances, man, happen all the time for people. And for me, it was coming home from all that kind of madness to my parents and my friends, and my cousin Paul, man, is here tonight, it's one of my best friends. People who gathered around me and helped me, man, and rebuilt me. No? So the old Lamborghini man is more mad. this is my last piece, man. We're ending hope, so this is called Lost and Found. In the days gone by, I wandered off so lonely in a cloud, and the seasons came and reason left me hollow as a shroud. And I roamed the vast and seamless hills, bereft of mind and logic, heading east in circles with various gears and geographic. I'd had enough and sure all the old stuff had had enough of me. On my darkest days, a blinding sun still found me through the trees. And the hole was deep, no wholesome sleep could dreams with ease erase. To a broken head, my spirit led, my brother's tomb in grace. And I awoke one morn just past the dawn, unsure of plain habitual. In heart's despair, I grasped around for some semblance sense of ritual. And I had forgot of all the things, the light of those around me. That childhood sense benevolence of those who cared to ground me. And the few and far unseen apart yet, I felt their guidance solely. That the fractured lessons of my youth could lead to something holy. And that blackness, the clouds and patches as I lost head of the shore. And the fog lay deep inside where I keep my thoughts and nothing more. And please stop to think, but don't stop long for seconds turn to years. The class A diet, yes, I tried it multiplied with beers. And my figments pigment, malignant, ignorant and indignant of blue proportions into oceans, deep and vast and important. And forget not the ones who passed before your seed was sown. When you are lost, connections crossed and half your fuses blown. Some paths will lead to wrath and seething, and joy has long since flown. Just stop, try to feel the sun, and find the trail to home.